Good morning. Welcome to Alum Creek. We're glad that you joined us today. If you've been on a quest trying to figure out how do I get my life back into rhythm, my spiritual life back into beating succinctly, you've come to the right place. That's what we're working on this year. We talked at the beginning of the year about this spiritual arrhythmia that seems to be affecting all of us. We're out of our routines, we're out of our rhythms, we're out of our traditions, and we've had to kind of find ourselves again in all walks of life, but nothing's been affected as dramatically as our spiritual journey. Who would have ever imagined we'd be sitting here doing virtual meetings and virtual communion and virtual worship and all the things that we've just kind of grown accustomed to. However we find you this morning, we're glad that you decided to tune in. We changed our services up just a little bit this year. They're a little bit shorter, and then we're meeting afterwards to have communion with each of our members and having some good discussion about a study we're working on. It's open for anybody. You're all invited to come if you'd like to join us and interact a little bit more. That's the one thing about this venue is it's just not as interactive as we'd like. And so we do have a Zoom set up that's to follow directly after this. You're more than welcome to join us, and we'll be taking communion at that time together. I do believe Brian is going to leave a little bit of a screen and perhaps some music at the end of the service. If you're not able to join us for the full time of interacting, if you'd like to just have some meditation and some reflection for you to share in communion there at your convenience, that'll be left on the screen as well. But for the rest of us, we're going to jump on, and we got started with our Zoom meetings last week. They were really nice. And it's not great. It's not as good as being in person, but it's nice. And so we hope you'll join us today. It's a beautiful day outside today. Hopefully, it's Thursday when I'm recording this, so it's beautiful out today. I hope it's beautiful where you are today, but it'll be beautiful here as we break open God's Word. And I think a really important study for us to consider as we start to think about what are we becoming. So join us today, won't you? We have a couple songs and a prayer and a word from God. Thank you for joining us, and blessings on you and your family. I always find it kind of interesting, the things that my memory is able to recall and some things that it's not. Like, there's some things that are really important in my family or somebody, friends will be around, hey, do you remember this? And if I'm honest, I just say, no, I don't remember that at all. But then the dumbest things, the most irrelevant things that seem to be wasting brain space, I can remember like it was yesterday. And one of those things is a poster that was on the wall of my 11th grade government class. I have no idea why I remember that. I don't remember many of the students that were in it. Of course, I remember the teacher, but I don't remember my grades. I don't remember what we studied. I don't remember anything, but I remember this poster he had on the wall. It was a picture of an elephant, and it was like a cartoonish drawing of an elephant. So it had the outline of the elephant, and then inside the elephant were pictures of different kinds of food that an elephant would eat. And underneath of it were the words, "You are what you eat." What a waste of memory space. I have no idea why I remember that poster so vividly. I mean, I could close my eyes and see it. But for some reason, that stuck with me because it was the first time that I had ever really thought about the fact that nothing comes into our bodies to make us grow and mature other than the food that we consume. And of course, I would be remiss as a Superman fan to not acknowledge the power of the sun. Sunlight helps us. But for the most part, we take tacos and pizza and chicken wings, and every once in a while, a little bit of a vegetable. We drink water and milk and orange juice and whatever else we consume, and we pour that into our body, and out comes fingernails and hair follicles, eyebrows, hair on your head, hair on your face, and the rest of your body. Like, it is incredible to me to think about. And what's really interesting, and you may have heard this kind of theory before, is that all of your body is constantly changing and forming. Your fingernails are constantly growing. If you brush your skin, you see flakes of skin because your skin cells are constantly replenishing themselves. I shared a video on our Facebook page this week. If you got a chance to see it, you know what I'm talking about. It's incredible. They make the case that every person's body, every 8 to 15 years, undergoes a complete renewal. With a few exceptions, like I guess the cells on the inside of your lens of your eyeball, those have been the same forever and ever and ever. And I know your teeth enamel, it doesn't replenish itself. That's why we have to get stupid cavities filled. Thank you, dentists. Luckily, I'm far enough away you can't see all the ones I have in my mouth. With those few exceptions and a few others, everything else in our body is constantly renewing itself. So in a very real sense, I could tell you that I'm not the man I used to be. Because it's true. I'm different now than I was a few years ago. And it's rather incredible to think about the fact that that little baby that came out of my mom all those years ago has become this overweight 40-year-old man by feasting on hot dogs and hamburgers and carrots and lettuce and Cheerios. It's just kind of mind-blowing. And it's the fact that we're constantly evolving, and it's hard for us to believe. If you don't believe that you're constantly changing, pull up a picture of yourself just 5 years ago. 5 years ago. Now, if you were 10 5 years ago, you've really changed. But even if you were 40, at 45, you look different than you did 5 years ago. It's just the way it is. As a matter of fact, you are different than you were yesterday. I'm different than I was yesterday. Now, we're not drastically different than we were, just a smidgen. Even over 5 years, we may look at ourselves, depending on the age bracket we find ourselves, and you may find a new wrinkle or a couple gray hairs or a little new plump bump over here or whatever it is. But that only happens as slowly, day to day, you're evolving and changing. And it doesn't just happen to us physically. Mentally, emotionally, even spiritually, we're constantly forming and changing. And it forces us to ask the question, what are we becoming? Because we're all becoming something. Even physiologically, our body is evolving into something different. It's way above my pay grade to try to imagine the fact that even though our body is constantly renewing itself with new cells, the aging process continues to go on. I know that Olay and companies like that spend billions of dollars trying to figure out how to stop that from happening, and it so far has been unsuccessful. But the amazing thing is it's still constantly renewing. We're different today than we were yesterday. Because not only are we shaped by the things that we eat and consume, we are also shaped by the experiences that we have, by the people that we interact with, by new things that we try, by old things that we stop doing. Everything that comes into our purview every single day shapes us into something different. Now, we're kind of like a big lump of Play-Doh. And when we're babies, that clay is really soft and easy to form. And as we get older, it does get a little bit harder. But really, human beings never become a big limestone rock. We're always fairly malleable. And all of the experiences and things that we do, they shape who we are. The music we listen to, the things that we watch on television, they do affect who we are. Now, some people may overstate the idea sometimes, but there's no denying the fact that the things that we're exposed to, they slowly change and shape us. This morning, we want to spend a few minutes reflecting on this very philosophical question of what are we becoming? Because I think it's a really pressing matter for all of us. What are we becoming? What are you becoming? What am I becoming? There's this notion in the Bible that Christ is to transform our lives. And the very notion of transformation is change, is evolution. We're evolving. We're being shaped into something new. And so this morning we're going to spend a few minutes looking at a couple biblical passages that talk about how God is shaping us and help us to really reflect on the question of what are we becoming? One of the most famous passages about God's transformative work or our kind of duty of transformation comes in Romans chapter 12. Very famous passage, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That's your spiritual act of worship. Well, what does that look like then? He says, well, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. Transformation is an ongoing process. Sometimes we look at transformation as Christians as a dramatic event when we become a Christian and we've been transformed. And there are certainly examples of that in Scripture where somebody becomes a Christian and leaves their life of sin behind. Paul comes to mind first and foremost. But it's not simply a one-time event. That's kind of what Romans is testifying here to. It's an ongoing process of transformation. We get further indication of that in the book of Philippians. Paul's writing a letter to the church at Philippi, to the Christians there. And he says at the very beginning of the book, he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? He had begun a good work. It wasn't done. He didn't just snap his fingers. They converted to the name of Jesus and everything was done. He began the good work in them and he will carry it on to completion. What are we becoming? Well, the book of Philippians, Paul tells the Christians there that they are becoming the work of Christ. Paul says in Romans that we are being transformed. Just like our bodies are physically evolving and changing and renewing themselves, so is our spirit. You know, it's going to be really interesting after having spent all this time in quarantine and regardless of how much interaction maybe you've had with some people, all of us, I think, have not seen other people nearly as often as we're accustomed to. And there are going to be people, some of them are in our immediate family. We haven't seen Mary Beth's mom or sister in over a year. Spent very little time with really any of our family for a long time. And there's going to be this moment where we see these people, whether it's our family or friends that we haven't seen in a long time. And we're going to notice how dramatically they've changed because we haven't seen them in 6 or 12 months. And so the kids are going to look like they've grown incredibly. And teenagers are going to look more mature. And older people are going to look even older, right? Some of us are going to put a few extra pounds on. A few people are going to look a little thinner. They've managed to lose weight through all this process. There's going to be some obvious signs that we've changed. New haircuts, longer hair, shorter hair. Because we've been able to take some time and space and see the change, the transformation happening. But when you see people day in and day out, you don't notice the change. Clark turned 16 a couple weeks ago and he's this big hulking giant. And I've seen him almost every day in his life, and I don't understand when that happened. There was never a day where I just walked in and I was like, whoa, what happened here? It just happened slowly, minuscule growth by minuscule growth. And as tall as he is, as big as he is, it still wasn't noticeable from one day to the next. It's a great parallel to our spiritual lives. We're on a journey. God is trying to transform us to work the good work that He began in us to completion. And all of us are on that journey, and it's a really slow journey. We're not going to just wake up one morning and think, woo, I've arrived. This is awesome. Instead, very slowly, very calmly, sometimes painstakingly so, we're making progress or we're making regress. Because it seems to me that our spiritual lives, here's what we've all been doing the last 6 or 12 months or 18 months, or this is how we're always living our lives. We're either slowly walking towards God or slowly turning our back and walking away from Him. And it's really hard to notice the progress either way over short periods of time. Sometimes we're trying to walk closer to God and we're not quite getting there, and it's frustrating. And it's easy to just say, I'm not getting anywhere. And on the other hand, sometimes we're just very slowly and gradually walking away from God. And we don't think it's really a big deal. What's the big deal? And it's not at first, because when we first start walking away, we're still closer than we used to be. But eventually, over the slow process, we're becoming something that we would have never perhaps wanted to be. This idea of being on a journey, of God working on us and transforming us and helping us become something new and different, it makes me think of the disciple Peter. You know, Peter, probably more than any of the other disciples, we get kind of these pictures of him and snippets of his life all through his journey with Christ. And it's fun to kind of think back of how those moments shaped him, how they helped him become. So imagine, initially, he's out with his brothers fishing. Seemingly out of the blue, at least from our perspective in the Bible, Jesus comes up to Peter and says, "Hey, why don't you come with me? I'm going to make you fishers of men." And Peter follows him. And that moment was a shaping moment in his life. There's another story about Simon Peter being with his mother-in-law was ill. And they went to her house, and Jesus came, and Peter is there, and he lays his hands on her, and somehow Jesus heals his mother-in-law. Now, if your families are anything like my families, no one would ever have forgotten that. Every time we got together, everybody would have been talking about that. And that moment, that event, shaped Peter as he was becoming more like Christ. Then there was that amazing moment when he went to step out of the boat. I don't think it happened in slow motion, but every time I read or think about that story, it's always in slow motion. Peter's stepping out, and he takes a couple steps, and the feeling of that water under his feet as he walked upon the tops of the water, it had to be something that he remembered forever. I always wonder if when Peter was really doubting and really struggling, if he would close his eyes and remember what it was like to walk upon the water. I can almost see him at night just closing his eyes and smiling as he remembers what his feet felt like. That was a formative moment. Imagine how that moment shaped him. There was another time when Jesus had taken a couple of them up to the mountain, and Moses and Abraham show up, and they just start hanging out with Jesus, and Peter's watching it all unfold, and he's just blown away with what he's seeing. He doesn't know really how to interpret it. He doesn't know what to do. He's like, "Hey, man, should we build a tent for these guys or what, Jesus?" It's one of my favorite Bible statements. He sees them and he says, "It is good for us to be here." Yes, Peter, it is good for you to be there. And it was a formative moment. You wonder how many times he woke up in the middle of the night remembering the vision of being there with Jesus. And maybe this my favorite moment in Peter's life is when Jesus had gathered them there, and he was asking them who the people were saying that he was. And you know the story well. Peter was one of the first ones to speak up, you know, his hands in the air. "Jesus, you're the Son of God. I know it. I know who you are." And he gets up and he celebrates, and Jesus is basking in the moment. He says, "Well done, Peter. You're a rock. I'm going to build my church on you." But he doesn't stay in the good graces of Jesus very long. Just right after this, Jesus is explaining how he's going to have to die. And Peter stands up and he says, "You will never have to die." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." You ever wonder how that memory kind of shapes him? You see, the memories that Peter have, they don't ever let him get too full of himself, do they? It's a tough message. It gets tougher, of course, as we start to walk down the crucifixion path with Jesus. And we all know the story well of Peter having three separate opportunities to confess his allegiance and his companionship with Jesus. And all three times he denies him. He hears the rooster crow. And again, I've always wondered, does Peter have post-traumatic stress disorder because of this? Does he always remember that time that he denied Christ every time he hears a rooster cry? That would be difficult. And that moment shapes Peter. He's becoming something because of all of these stories. And you see, Peter's life, it's just like our life. It's just like my life. I will admit, his peaks, they're a little higher than mine. I haven't been able to hang out with Abraham and Moses. But his valleys, they're a little deeper than mine. I never got the opportunity, probably most of us haven't, to just absolutely deny Jesus directly like that. But that's what makes the story of Peter so compelling, because we can resonate with him. We can understand that. We know what that's like. And I want to tell you this morning that this is the journey that we're on. This journey of God taking us, this potter and his clay. And the more open we allow ourselves to be, the easier, more easily he'll shape us into what he wants us to. He's begun a good work in me. He's begun a good work in you. It's not done yet. You see, it's not done. A year of a global pandemic, that's going to shape us. It's going to have an impact on us. We're not going to be able to walk away from this and say, yeah, that really was irrelevant to my life. It's going to shape us. It's not going to destroy us, but it's going to shape us. And the questions that we have to ask for ourselves are we going to allow God to come inside and use these opportunities to mold us and shape us and do something new? Because the more dramatic things that we walk through, you see with Peter, Peter had a whole lot more days than those with God. But those are the ones that are singled out because those are the ones that are going to dramatically shape who he becomes. And I want to suggest that as we are looking for a spiritual rhythm, as we're looking to get our hearts back in rhythm, this is a major moment that we have to confront. Who are we becoming because of this? Some of us are becoming grouchy. Some of us are becoming discontent. Some of us are becoming angry. Some of us are becoming lazy. Some of us are becoming more enlightened and some of us less so. But don't think that you've just arrived somewhere. Don't think that you're just standing put and haven't been making any progress or regress anywhere. No, it's affecting you. And part of our quest as a church is to try to help us come together and be something new. I don't think it's an overstatement to say that we've gone through the fire together, that we've gone through the furnace together. This has been a really challenging time for a lot of people. And you can look at it and say, well, it just burned us all up. That's all there was. Or you can look at it more like a piece of iron in the fire. Maybe we had gotten a little harder than Play-Doh. Maybe we'd become metal. And this whole process, these past months, they've been like going through a fire. And I hope that one of the things that has happened, and much more significant to whether you've lost a few pounds or gained a few pounds or have longer hair than you used to, what's God done to your heart? Is he opening your heart to new opportunities, to new blessings? In the study we're about to join in, and you're all welcome to join us, we're going to talk about failure and success. Peter had a great deal of failures. You're going to have a lot of failures. Our church is going to have a lot of failures. And the key is, in trying to consider what we're becoming, we have to learn from them. We have to open our hearts to God and ask Him, what now, Lord? What's ahead for us? It's a really strange place I find myself in because there's been a lot of things that are discouraging, a lot of things that make me just shake my head in disbelief. But somehow, I've managed to find like this great message of optimism in all of this. Some of my friends who are pastors up here in Lewis Center, we've been meeting the last couple of months, and we've talked about how this is an amazing opportunity for us. It'll never happen again in our lives, but an amazing opportunity for us for God to really dramatically shape us into being more what He wants us to be. We're going to talk here in a minute about how that might work in our lives, and we pray that you join us. We're going to continue to beat this drum for a few more weeks of just trying to find a way to get back into rhythm, that our heartbeat is beating just in sync with God's. Peter, his was in sync sometimes, and sometimes it wasn't. Ours is sometimes, and sometimes it isn't. Well, let's find a way to get ours shocked back in so that we can go about becoming the person, the individual, the believer that God wants us to be. Thanks for joining us today.
Will you pray with me? Our Father God, with our hearts, minds, and hands open to receive the love, guidance, and gifts of the Spirit, we bow before you today. We kneel before you with our brokenness and scars, asking you to lift us up, heal our wounds, and forgive our imperfections and shortcomings with the kind of power, grace, and mercy only you can provide. We submit ourselves to you and beg for you to shape us into the vessels of hope and light that we are called to be. With so much uncertainty in the world, strengthen our faith to have the courage to face that uncertainty with the sense of peace that you are, always have been, and always will be the one in control. May we be seen by our community as your hands and feet. Let the work of our hands and our hearts be the expression of our souls fully consumed by the Spirit. We praise you for the peace and joy that surpasses all understanding. And we thank you for the life you have given us through Jesus. Amen.